Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon Free Speech Network, and my company has been named in various documents by the federal government. This came out in numerous lawsuits. In fact, Schmidt, the Attorney General of Missouri, with the Gateway Pundit and other plaintiffs, filed a lawsuit against various agencies of the federal government. And in discovery, it turns out that my own organization is named to be targeted by the government for defamation, deplatforming, blacklisting, financial blacklisting, and so much more. Our government, by abusing its power and reach, has been turned into a weapon against we the people. And our guest today is an attorney with an organization called Targeted Justice, and the website is targetedjustice.com. Her name is Anna Toledo, and she joins us today because she and her organization have filed an historic lawsuit to try to reel in these broad, dangerous overreaches by what I would consider to be a rogue federal government that is weaponized against the people. Anna, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your time and your efforts. So since this is the first time that we've ever spoken, and you're a first-time guest with us here, give us the big picture. Let's start there. What does our audience need to know about Targeted Justice and the lawsuit that you filed earlier this year?
Well, the most important thing that they should all know is that although it is Targeted Justice that is filing this lawsuit on behalf of targeted individuals, which I will explain in a little while what they are, this is important to and relevant to anyone in the United States and in the world, but we are alleging, we are invoking the United States Constitution, because anybody can end up in what is called the terrorist screening database. As we have seen whistleblowers going into Congress and speaking when they say people have been placed or have been categorized as domestic terrorists, that is nothing but that they have been placed in this list. And the consequences for the people that become targeted individuals are ghastly. They are horrible. It's a human experimentation program. And the way we discovered, one of the founding members of Targeted Justice discovered it, is that as he was lying on the floor because of microwave attacks on his leg that caused him a blood clot, the sheriffs didn't let the ambulance come into the property, saying that they were told there was a terrorist in the premises. And wow. That is, yes. And so while he laid on the floor, while they were securing the area, meanwhile, he only lived there with his 87-year-old mother. And he almost lost his life because that's when he found out that the relationship between being a targeted individual and being on the list.
So wait a second. So the federal government can, without any due process or rule of law, they can place you on a targeted terrorist list. And once you're on this list, you can be denied basic public services, such as what you just described, ambulance services, potentially medical services, 911 response services, or medical or perhaps even financial services, right? And we've experienced financial deplatforming ourselves, and solely because of our viewpoints, right? So essentially they're saying you're a terrorist if you have viewpoints that do not align with the lies of the current administration. That's where we are.
That is correct. That's exactly, you got it completely. It's, you know, we hadn't talked before, but you totally got it. And here's the thing, like the whistleblowers have been saying that there's a pressure to categorize people as domestic terrorists. It's not just getting, you know, with banks and getting negative effects and bad treatment by businesses, but targeted individuals that are in the in the category three prong, because there's two categories. There's a category four, which we believe it's like, yeah, you get microwave with directed energy weapons, and you get what it's called organized stalking, that maybe, you know, you leave your car in the valet parking, and when you come back, the key is broken, or you just get your tire slashed out of nowhere, things like that. But then there's the category three, which are the ones that have really terrible physical attacks. Most of the targeted individuals are on category four, and some of them don't even know that they are targeted. Some of them might feel like, you know, when you wake, if you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh God, I'm getting old too fast. It's not that you're getting old, it's that you're getting microwaved. It's the use of cell towers. 90% of the microwave attacks come through cell towers. And so the way we have an affidavit on the record from an FBI representative that says that there is the terrorist screening database, which is only supposed to be comprised of known and suspected terrorists, with the reasonable grounds, is the criteria, is legal criteria, is reasonable grounds to do so. But then there are other categories, as admitted by a former terrorist screening center deputy director, Mr. Timothy Groh. He admitted that there are people in that list that don't constitute a terrorist threat or a threat to national security. And they are not screened as such as when they travel. That is why none of my 18 plaintiffs, when they get on a plane, they don't get screened. So they never found out, like the people in the categories one and two. One is known terrorist, and the instruction of the FBI is arrest them if you come in contact with them. Two is a suspected terrorist, and those are the ones that are subjected to hours of screening before boarding a plane. And then there's three and four, which is where most targeted individuals are. So you travel and you're like, well, I can't be categorized as a terrorist because, you know, I can go through and there's no problem with it. But that's not true. That Mr. Groh admitted that, oh, there's people there that don't have ties to terrorism, but they're there for other reasons.
Right. Other reasons, which could include just making a campaign donation to Donald Trump, for example. I want to bring your attention to something else too, Anna. On my screen here is a PubMed article about a chemical called diethyl nitrosamine, or DEN. This is a chemical that's used to induce carcinogenic liver injury in mice. This chemical is actually used by laboratory researchers to give mice rapid onset liver cancer or pancreatic cancer so that they can test cancer treatments on mice. But it has come to my attention now that this chemical is being used as a contact poison against targeted individuals, so that we actually have government agents that are trying to find out where people are, you know, time and place, public speaking event, travel through an airport, even their home or the handle of their car door or what have you. And they're applying this chemical, DEN, diethyl nitrosamine, so that the targeted person absorbs this chemical. And then they die from liver cancer or pancreatic cancer within a few months, and they are never the wiser of what happened. So this is like a 6-month assassination chemical. Have you ever heard of this or anything like this that's being used against individuals?
Well, I can tell you that not this in particular, okay? But I can tell you that I know targeted individuals get slow poisoning. Many of us don't go out to eat. Or if we do, we do it like in a buffet style place where nobody can put, you know, venom, you know, poisons in our food. And that to me is the sad part about it is that the government officials, the rogue people carrying out this human experimentation program, go out and tell these people that this is a terrorist. You're doing something good. You're being a patriot because this is a terrorist.
And you're saying that they would say that to the cook crew, the chef crew, to cooperate with the poisoning of a dish.
Well, I can tell you I have been poisoned on at least two occasions. And I just, because within 2 hours of being in the place, I have like this full cold or flu or, and it's, you know, so you just stay away from that. I have one of my plaintiffs, she had to, after having lunch in a place, she had to stop her car, you know, just to throw up because she got sick like that. So we have to be very careful with that because there is slow poisoning going on because the key to this program is plausible deniability. So that anybody denouncing this kind of thing sounds like crazy or conspiracy theorist. However, when you have a sworn statement from a person saying that the people that are not terrorists that are included in this list are placed in there for secret criteria.
Right.
Yes.
Anything that they can, anything they want to make up, right?
Well, now they're invoking national security, even though targeted individuals, as admitted by Mr. Crow, do not represent a terrorist threat. There is this secret criteria that they are now alleging if the court orders disclosure, it would interfere with national security. And that is nothing but an excuse to not have us uncover the truth of this human experimentation program, which I can tell you the ultimate goal is to get people to take their own lives. When they jump you to the category three, the organized stalking and the torture is very severe. There's from microwave burns to hallucinatory, an auditory effect called voice to skull. 66% of targeted individuals get it. And this is a patented technique that is created through the use of microwave beams.
We're familiar with this. We've covered this editorially, and you're right. People actually hear it audibly inside their skull.
Yes, and so they are. This is 24/7. Okay, these and many. For example, how the way they like to do the torture is if it's a real Christian woman. We Christians are targeted, okay? Conservative, targeted numbers say that it is five times more likely a conservative will be targeted than a liberal. That's our statistics. We have done polls on this. It's harder for the Christian to prove because, you know, 70% of the nation more or less is Christian. So it's harder to prove that correlation. But I can tell you, 14% of targeted individuals are homeless, even though the national average is 0.5%. They destroy your finances. They destroy your livelihood, your job, your friends, your family. They ostracize you from society.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to ask you, I mean, you can continue that thought, but make sure we cover, like, what's the status of this lawsuit? It's been filed, but you know, the court system is so corrupt. I mean, the federal judges work for the same system that is carrying out these crimes.
Well, I'm very hopeful. We filed this on January 11th, 2023, in the Victoria Court of the Southern District of Texas. The judge that had that case didn't decide anything and instead bumped the case to Houston.
Okay, well, at least it's in Texas. That's hopeful.
It's in the Southern District of Texas in Houston, and we have a scholar judge that is very experienced, and I do realize that it takes a lot of courage for the person deciding this case, but in a way, for example, there is a case called TransUnion versus Ramirez, which was decided by the Supreme Court of the United States in 2021, that says that if you erroneously list somebody as a terrorist and you disclose that to third parties, there's a presumption of injury in fact, which is the standing the standard for standing in Article III court. So in that sense, well, it's not very hard for the judge to conclude that, you know, the inclusion of 18 plaintiffs, we have filed it on behalf of 18 plaintiffs as well as the targeted justice members. But like okay. I said, this is not just about them. It's about the American people and changing the course of where this was going.
That's outstanding. And by the way, this is one lawsuit of many lawsuits that are attempting to expose the overreach, the abuse of power by various federal agencies, including the FBI, DOJ, and so on, EPA for that matter, ATF. But where does, I mean, that case was only filed a few months ago, as of the time we're recording this. These cases are known to be able to take many years, and the defense of this, you know, you're naming the DOJ, FBI, DHS. They will certainly put forth a well-funded defense. So what's the next step for this lawsuit?
Well, I already filed my opposition, the opposition to the motion to dismiss, that because we sued them in their official capacity and in their individual capacities.
Meaning, oh, wow. You named Mayorkas?
Yeah. The three.
Good for you.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. The official capacity, one of the things that, for example, is an egregious violation of their official duties is to knowingly include and or maintain innocent civilians in a terrorist list. That is, we asked for a declaratory judgment, having the court declare that it is illegal for the FBI Terrorist Screening Center and its officials to place in a terrorist screening database the names of innocent civilians. It is estimated between 300 and 400,000 Americans have been included in this list.
That's extraordinary. I mean, that
huge.
I thought you were going to say maybe a few thousand, but hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. Many of them don't know it. You know, many right. of them say, oh, I just had bad luck. Oh, you know, because the microwaving is done at night when they're sleeping. And it's very slight. You got a flat tire or your microwave broke down, things like that, that are plausibly deniable that they were caused by microwave weapons. That's why, you know, those are the silent weapons. So we sued in the official capacity, and that's just one of the various claims. Okay. Also, in the individual capacity under Bivens, under the Bivens cause of action for violation of civil rights against federal officials. That's in their individual capacity. They just filed their motion to dismiss, and I am in the process of writing a reply there too. But I already filed my reply to the motion to dismiss to the official capacity defendants. And what, you know, their main argument was that these were all fantastical allegations, and thus the court shouldn't have jurisdiction about a fantastical case. But what they
that's an odd argument.
Well, because they couldn't argue is that it is not fantastical and it's highly illegal to include innocent civilians in a terrorist database and label them as domestic terrorists. One of, as the case has been progressing, the criminals that are carrying out the torture and abuse of innocent civilians have gone rogue. And for example, one of our advisory board members, she was staying in an Airbnb. And after the first day she stayed there, they came, knocked on her door and told her she had to leave because she was a security risk. And so we're seeing that this list is distributed to 18,000 law enforcement, state, tribal, and federal agencies, to 1,440 entities, nonprofit and profit, and 530 30-something corporations, the biggest corporations.
That would include banking and finance, I assume.
Definitely, definitely. One of my plaintiffs, he constantly goes to his ATM machine, and even though he has the funds there, it's denied. They don't let him take the money out, for example. Obviously, the credit cards get declined all the time in businesses, even though they have the credit available.
Right.
And it's that kind of harassment, making your life very, very hard, being able to get a job. One of our advisory board members has been trying to find a job, and whenever she's going to post a resume, the job listing disappears. It's just it's electronic harassment. All of my communications are interfered with.
But this sounds, we've heard these stories over the years coming out of communist China, tied to social credit score, right? If you misbehave according to the government, the communist regime, then you're not allowed to enter college, right? You're not allowed to use public transportation. You're not allowed to do all kinds of things, to get a job, like you said, to open a bank account, to travel, whatever. It seems like this is a Chinese scoring system that is now being covertly applied in the United States, targeting, as you say, hundreds of thousands of individuals. Does that sound accurate? Yes?
It's very accurate, but here's the sad part. We're supposed to be the most free nation in the world. We have the most comprehensive constitution in all of the world. We have a First Amendment freedom of speech that is nowhere in the world has the guarantees that we have under the First Amendment. And so to me, it's a hypocrisy because China is communist, right? So they're not supposed to enjoy the freedoms that we take for granted. And this is happening in the United States and around the world, directed by the United States. So that's why, it's very sad. People in Europe, for example, they cannot speak about their targeting because they are forced into mental hospitals. One of the things that happens to targeted individuals is that when they speak about these things, they get placed in mental hospitals,
right,
and called delusional, particularly if they are hearing V2K. Well, with V2K, schizophrenia medicine doesn't work.
Right.
Most of it is the onset is in the 20s, and it's mostly women. So here we have statistics that it's usually, in midlife that they start getting targeted. It's also a hate crime because our statistics are also that around 66% are middle-aged women that either tend to live alone, because one of the ways they get you is if you live alone, there are no witnesses that can see how they shift things around in your house, or the things that go missing in your house, or the things that get broken. There's no witnesses, and it's plausibly deniable. It's right. A very, very complex structure.
This is psychological terrorism at one level. But let me ask you a bigger picture question about the lawsuit. Should you succeed, let's suppose this goes through the court in Houston. Let's suppose it goes then to, I guess, the Fifth Circuit, and then from the Fifth Circuit probably then to the Supreme Court. And let's suppose at some point the Supreme Court rules against the DOJ and DHS and FBI. The problem is there are no consequences for the government. Even the $1.3 billion, I believe, that you are requesting for your plaintiffs, the government can simply print that money, which means stealing it from everybody else, to hand it to your plaintiffs. That doesn't stop this behavior. When we have a lawless regime that is willing to carry out these grotesque medical experiments and psychological terrorism in the first place, why should we expect that they would ever listen to the Supreme Court telling them to stop it?
Well, that's a great question, because I assume you're familiar with MK Ultra,
yes,
Pointel Pro. And the reason this is a hybrid of those two programs. And the reasons those two programs never really ended is because there were no criminal consequences for the people carrying out the torture.
There you go.
And this is where the public has to place the pressure on DOJ, who is one of the defendants, right, but to prosecute these criminals that torture. You know, microwave weapons are not supposed to be fired on American soil. That's an absolute truth. And so the Department of Justice has a duty to believe victims and to investigate and prosecute those guilty of torture and treason to the United States. And that's exactly what's happening. All the people that get Havana syndrome, it has been concluded by the National Academies of Science and Engineering that you get Havana syndrome after you are exposed to directed energy weapons attacks.
Yes.
There's nothing, you know, it's not like, you know, anything else. That's what causes them. And one of the plaintiffs in our lawsuit, Dr. Lambert, he's a civilian with Havana syndrome, diagnosed by Dr. Hoffer in Florida.
So let me ask you a technical question, if I can.
Yes.
So 5G technology is directional. That the antenna, which uses, I believe, the phase array, micro antenna lattice, or array, can direct narrowly focused beams of energy to specific targets, which would typically be your mobile phone, right? But if you hold your phone near you, they know where you are, and if you're moving around with your phone, they know where you're moving around. Is it your knowledge that 5G towers are being used as one of the electromagnetic weapon systems that can target specific individuals?
Yes, but let me divide the answer here.
Okay.
Yes, the short answer is yes. 90%, we estimate 90% of the attacks carried out, the microwave attacks that are being carried out against the population, it's carried out through cell towers. There is a microchip that was patented by the Ericsson company, and I think it's being manufactured by 8 companies. And that is the one that allows for the production of the microwave beams from weaponized towers. The key here is weaponized towers. Not all cell towers are weaponized to produce microwave beams.
Okay.
That's number one. However, they don't need your phone to track you. We are all, if you look at the Target of Justice, we're all being tracked in the top of our heads, through the top of our heads, through satellites. We are being tracked, every single human being on Earth. And so you don't need, you know, that's why targeted individuals, they can leave their phones and computers behind, move somewhere else, they will find them.
Well, how are satellites tracking people from what their heads look like? From orbit.
It's from the top. Okay, now that you're entering the realm of the technical, and for that you would need to talk to Richard Lighthouse. But I urge you to look. There's a pretty clear diagram on the Targeted Justice webpage that explains how it works. I'm not, you know, he's a rocket scientist, and he has a master's in mechanics, and he's the one that discovered that not only the attacks, but the V2K is carried out, 90% of it, through the cell towers, weaponized cell towers. So I have to make it, you know, a point here, and it is that's the technology also used for mind control of the population. That is something that we're going to be looking into later, because one-third of the population is highly suggestible. And the reason you're not.
Oh yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, I think the number is much higher than that.
You know, the subliminal messaging is being carried out through these cell towers. And, you know, and that is something that, in my opinion, it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, because it's an invasion of your brain, of your mind.
Clearly.
Without your permission.
Let me ask you another technical question. If you don't know the answer, that's okay. But the weaponized 5G towers that you mentioned, I'm curious about their effective range for that, because for normal 5G communications, the range of those towers is quite limited, a few hundred meters, as I understand it, which is why they have to have so many. But for the weaponized broadcast,
at least 5 miles. I have been talking, you know, with Richard Lighthouse about it, and I believe that five miles is, you know, is a safe range for these weaponized ones. And you can tell they're weaponized because, for example, they have an emergency generator that is like 100 kilos. You don't need that for a regular cell tower, but you do if you are producing microwave beams.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also the electric cable that goes up to it. You know, if it's just a teeny normal one, that's one thing. But these are very thick because of the energy they have to carry.
Right. So you're saying 100 kilowatt generators are necessary to power this. That's
not
a lot.
Not a normal tower. Not a non-weaponized one.
Right. A weaponized one.
But for the weaponized, they need those emergency generators that are so powerful. One of the things that FCC is not doing is looking into, I mean, what we want to do, you know, with FOIA, how many of these chips are installed in what towers? Because you have here that the facilities that belong to the cell towers owners and operators are being used not only to torture people, but also for the mind control. And that is something that, you know, it's a source of liability.
So, right. A lot of these towers are operated by private companies, and the land belongs to someone who leases the land to these companies that install and maintain this equipment, which is then licensed to the telecommunications giants, such as AT&T, for example. So it seems like, I mean, you're an attorney, but it seems like every party in this chain may have some liability, even if they weren't aware of what was going on. Still, their land or their tower is being used as a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, these towers are being used to torture innocent Americans and to carry out mind control of a population. And you know, these companies that own them should read our lawsuit. That's one of the things that, you know, they're not part of it because they're not part of the program per se, but people could come up with this. You know, this is something very serious. The responsibility, you know, it's okay for you to make money. It's another to allow for people to be hurt, innocent people to be hurt and tortured this way.
Well, let me ask you another potentially technical question, but maybe this is covered in your lawsuit. I've interviewed other guests who believe that there is interaction between these electromagnetic broadcasts and some self-assembling nanoscale systems that people's bodies are producing after being injected with mRNA. Is there anything in your research or your lawsuit that talks about that intersection between the weaponized towers and vaccine injections?
No, and the reason is because what we are asking the court is a purely, you know, it's a constitutional question. Is it legal to have innocent civilians in a terrorist database? And the answer is no. So we're asking the court to issue a national injunction against the FBI to remove the names of all those persons that have been erroneously categorized as domestic terrorists or foreign terrorists, you know, for that matter. Because they don't belong in a terrorist database. Homeland Security Presidential Directive Number 6, which is the one that authorized this list, does not contemplate putting anybody else in that list other than known and suspected terrorists. One of the things that it may come out in the future is how the interaction between the mRNA, the vaccines, and how the magnetization of the particles within in it and the microwaving of people, because microwaving makes it more, you know, activates it more. But I'm not a technical person, and I'm not going to go into that, and that's not the subject of our lawsuit.
Okay, all right.
But it's something that definitely should be looked into, the interaction between the use of microwave weapons, which are, you know, cell towers and satellites, and people that are, you know, dying. Just like, and these blood clots that are, you know, are never seen before.
So if individuals are out there watching this and they believe that they are also being targeted in this way, can they contact your law firm? Can they join this lawsuit? Can they seek representation for additional lawsuits? What can people do?
Well, no, at this time, I'm a solo practitioner, so I can only handle, you know, what I'm doing, which is a lot.
Yes, I can imagine.
It's a lot. It's, you know, the Department of Justice has, you know, how many thousands of attorneys, and I'm just, you know, one solo practitioner who had the courage to do it, because there's many targeted individuals that are attorneys, but they couldn't muster the courage to do it. For me, it's about freedom, you know, just give me liberty or give me death. So for me, it was a no-brainer. However, I do intend, once we prevail, because I don't contemplate not prevailing. This is the land of the free, and I don't contemplate that any court can hold that innocent people can be in a terrorist database. So it is my intention to give, you know, and do so freely, you know, do Zoom conferences to explain and prepare attorneys across the nation to do this kind of lawsuit, because targeted individuals have suffered immensely. There is something I really want to mention, that criminal defense attorneys should be looking into this lawsuit. The reason for it is that many targeted individuals get framed, get entrapped into crimes they didn't commit. When I first got to targeted justice, one of the letters that just, to say, breaks my heart is this man. He was in jail because his car broke down. Of course, we know that targeted individual cars are tampered with all the time. And he had to leave the car on the side of the road. He ended up in prison because he didn't tow the car on time or whatever. And so I think that it is very relevant for all criminal defense attorneys to ask in the discovery phase, which I think in federal rules of criminal procedure is Rule 16, to ask the TSDB status of their client. Because if the person is in the TSDB, I'm telling you, there's a presumption he could have been framed. Something like if it's a person that is being attacked by V2K, well, that is something that should go into the defense as well. So I really urge criminal defense attorneys to start looking into this, because your clients might be victims of the targeting, and that was probably or could have contributed or prompted whatever crime they're being accused of.
That is extraordinary information. I mean, we're already aware of the near total fraud of the so-called criminal science or forensic science to frame innocent people, where they can have false positives for substances, or, you know, the FBI used to rely on hair analysis. They would take a strand of hair. So, this hair is a perfect match. You're guilty. It was all made up. Even, by the way, ballistic, I don't know if you're aware of this, but ballistic bullet analysis, where they say they can determine that this bullet was fired from this gun, it's complete fiction. It's totally made up. There is no correlation. There aren't little secret lines on the bullet that actually correspond to the barrel. That's a statistical nonsense. But there's so many ways. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, just last week, a TI was framed into, you know, drug tested at work, and he was fired because it was positive, and he swears he wasn't taking any drugs. You know, this is the kind of thing, it's like when you put your livelihood on the hands third parties that are controlled by these entities, these persons, these, you know, people that engage in the malfeasance, you are bound to lose. For many years, I didn't know I was targeted. I just thought I was, that was the deck of cards I was dealt. And I was very innocent, and I was thought the best of people. Little did I know is they infiltrate the way they do it with, and that's what people have to be very careful. They infiltrate your circle of friends to gather information on you in order to then be able to do, you know, like a war, like an attack, to know most of the information about you and who are your support groups, etc., so that they can discount them and you don't have them when you need them. That's part of their tactic.
That's social engineering warfare.
It's a Stasi. It's like a German Stasi. Exactly. It's copied from that. This program is a mixture, like I told you, MK Ultra, Stasi, and COINTELPRO. It's a mixture of that.
It's extraordinary too that to someone who has never been targeted in this way, listening to you, they would think, "Oh, this is crazy. This sounds all made up. It sounds like science fiction. It sounds like you've been watching, you know, too many Hollywood movies starring Matt Damon, let's say." But in truth, this is all real. This is all happening, and it has happened in other regimes, the Stalinist regime, for example, the Stasi you mentioned. Today, modern-day communist China, probably elements of this in Venezuela, right? Certainly North Korea. So this is not science fiction. This is state-of-the-art science that's being used by an oppressive regime to destroy all dissent. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And here's the thing. They got greedy. They got arrogant and greedy because by adding more people, it has come out in the congressional hearings that FBI agents got a financial bonus for including more people in the lists. One of the agents testified how, I don't know if he did it in an interview or testified in Congress, how they were pressuring him to place in the list this young woman who was clearly mentally ill and spent a lot of time playing video games and in chat rooms and things like that. And he was like, "No, she's mentally ill." He's like, no, let's do an ISIS case on her. It is mathematically implausible for so many people to be telling the same story and for it to be a conspiracy theory and for them to be in the TSDB. You know, it's just not plausible. And they got greedy in the numbers. I urge you to do a search of the hashtag targeted individuals in Twitter, and you will see the hundreds of daily tweets you will get. Or you can also look up the one that we did for this lawsuit, which is TJ versus Garland. And hundreds of tweets will come up, because if it was made up, you wouldn't have so many people denouncing the same things.
Okay, so the hashtag targeted individuals, and then the website targetedjustice.com.
And yes.
I want to mention something else. We only have a few minutes remaining here, but I want to mention something else. After 9/11, right? So 2001, and then the enhancement of the Patriot Act was ready to go. The under the first Bush presidency, again, former CIA spook, former head of the CIA, it was then pushed out that, oh, we need all these secret powers to monitor Muslims and Middle Eastern ethnic people, right? And I remember at that time watching most of America cheer that. They cheered, yes, you know, infiltrate the mosques, you know, spy on people from the Middle East. You know, they might be terrorists. I remember watching that in horror, by the way, even back in 2001, or that actually bled into 2002. But I remember watching that in horror thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be turned against all of us eventually. And it has. None of us is safe now because we stood by, America stood by and let the power of tyranny expand.
That you're so true, and you should know that, admitted, as has been admitted in depositions in preparation of this lawsuit, I want you to know 80% of that lawsuit is grounded on government documents, inspector general reports from the Department of Justice, deposition transcripts in the case El Haiti versus Cable. So I read thousands of pages in preparation of this lawsuit. And one of the admissions that they have is that this list, this terrorist screening database, has not stopped a single act of terrorism.
Wow. Yeah, no, clearly it's designed to defeat and silence political opponents. I mean, it's designed to shore up the power of the regime.
Yes, it's a very dangerous weapon. And, you know, fine, there's 300,000 to 400,000 targeted individuals. But the problem is, tomorrow it could be you. Tomorrow it could be, you know, just if we have some of our clients are people that came out of a bad divorce. The pictures, when you see the pictures there, that you see the woman with the burns, she came out of a really bad divorce, and her husband placed her in the list. This is just, you know, a suburban wife. She had, you know, and we have a couple of them that are like that. If you just have the right connections, one of the whistleblowers stated for the record in Congress that it is very wrong for average Americans to be able to call the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world and denounce that someone is a domestic terror, a suspected terrorist. And that's exactly what is happening.
Right.
They're letting people, for having vendettas with others or because they think differently, to call the FBI and nominate them privately as domestic terrorists.
Yeah, I mean, it's a giant snitch situation. And yet the real criminals, in my opinion, are running free. For example, I've said here on this show, Alejandro Mayorkas, I believe, is the greatest human trafficker, or the most horrific human trafficker in America right now. He's allowing this human trafficking and weapons trafficking and drug trafficking into the United States. Why isn't he being investigated as being complicit with all of those crimes taking place every day? He's actually involved in funding those channels of transport to carry out these acts of great human suffering. And yet he goes free.
In the complaint, the reason we brought him as a defendant in the complaint is because the DHS and his anti-terrorist director, Mr. Weinstein, DHS controls the fusion centers. I don't know if you've heard about the infamous fusion centers.
Of course we have, yes.
Well, that's from where the Stasi is organized. And they just, you know, throw these people, vigilantes, on the street to pretty much go after targeted individuals and make their life miserable with the organized stalking and the psychological operations.
Yep.
And this is carried out from the fusion centers, and that's alleged in the complaint. So, you know, it's obviously that's what we have to do, this carry out discovery. But these fusion centers are not, they don't even have a statutory authority. They just popped out of nowhere without a congressional authority. The Brennan Center for Justice has been very critical. They have done thorough studies about it. And I don't know why Congress is not looking into these fusion centers that carry out a lot of the abuse that targeted individuals are subjected to. This is the weaponization. If the biggest weaponization of government is this, because it involves a state and local, state and federal law enforcement in these fusion centers, and it also involves the use of directed energy weapons against American citizens and legal residents. And that is just, you know, outrageously illegal. And it is the quintessential example of the weaponization of government.
Well, Anna, this has been fascinating and horrifying at the same time. I'm prayerful that your efforts will succeed. And I want to alert our audience to help spread the word about what you're doing with this interview and also your website, targetedjustice.com. Any final thoughts you want to leave our audience with today as we wrap this up?
No, I really thank you for the opportunity, because you just hit, you know, the nail on the head. What we ask is for people to spread the word, because I know it sounds fantastical. I know it sounds implausible, but it is very real. And many people have lost so many years of their lives undergoing this torture, so much of their health. And it's just un-American, and it's just so outrageous that many people don't want to believe it happens. So if you can please share, if you can please create awareness about it, it would help us in making it stop. Because what we want is for Congress to defund this atrocious program. This program runs with federal taxpayer money.
Yeah, these are government atrocities against innocent people.
Yes, Congress has got to stop the funding of this program.
Yeah,
because it's the funding of torture.
Well, and I mean, we're out of time, but I will say that the funding is a result of central bank fiat currency money printing. So as long as there is money printing and central banks, there will always be evil in government, because it can always print more money to pay for more evil and hire more people and pay off and bribe people. So we have to end money printing as well, but that's a different program. I just want to thank you, Anna, for joining me today. It's been truly fascinating, and we wish you safety and courage in your continued efforts.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and I am targeted in various ways, by the way. And my organizations have been targeted. But thanks to your support and your efforts, we are still on the air telling the truth and interviewing guests like Anna Toledo here today, who is telling the truth and trying to stop these crimes against humanity that are being waged by our own governments against us. Thank you for watching today, and be sure to check out more interviews and videos on Brighteon.com, the free speech video network that we built so that we could have these conversations without censorship. Thank you so much. God bless America. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com, and check out our new supply of organic hard red wheat berries. We have a 10-pound bucket now that consists of 5 packs of 2 pounds each that are they're vacuumed. They're sealed in a very rugged shaped liner that is formed into kind of, we call them bricks. But 5 of these bricks go into the bucket. They have very long shelf life because there's virtually no oxidation, industrially vacuum sealed. This is all subjected to our laboratory testing. We've tested for heavy metals, glyphosate, which can sometimes appear on wheat crops. And also we've tested for microbiology, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, and so on. So this is the most rigorously tested, long-term storable wheat berry product on the market, available right now at healthrangerstore.com. This will last for many, many years. You can use it to make bread or other things out of the wheat, you know, your favorite thing, pancakes or muffins or whatever you want. And it is available now at healthrangerstore.com, and we appreciate your support. Get squared away, folks, because the food abundance we have right now will not last much longer. We're seeing a lot of problems with the food supply chain, so make sure you have a backup supply. Thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here, HealthRangerStore.com. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you, simply because I want like-minded people to survive.